Now, the title of my message today is, What is Your Life? What is Your Life? I'm reading from the book of James, chapter 4, verse 13. James writes, Go to now, you that say, Today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city, and we'll continue there a year, and we'll buy, and we'll sell, and we'll get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You ought to say, instead of saying, We're going into the city today or tomorrow and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, you ought to say, considering how frail your life is and how uncertain it is, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Here's the question. What is your life? Now, life is something everyone has. You have life, I have life. All who are hearing me today have life. And secondly, life is something, unfortunately, that we all take for granted. I don't think there are many people listening to me who expect to die today. We take life for granted. We take this present time for granted. We expect to be around a long time. But thirdly, life is something that we are all going to have to eventually give up. We're going to have to turn loose of this natural existence. Now, the Word of God has a lot to say on this subject. What is your life? If you have a pencil and paper, jot down these scriptures. I'm not going to give you time to turn to them, but you write them down and go back and study them again. But here's the first thing I want to mention. The Bible talks about the swiftness of life, how quickly it goes by. And Job says in Job chapter 9, verse 25, Job 9, 25, My days are swifter than a post. They flee away. What is a post? Well, this is mail delivery. We have the postal service, postage paid. Well, that's what he's talking about here. My life, my days are swifter than the post. How did they deliver mail when Job wrote this? Well, mail was delivered, letters and messages, by fast horses. Men would ride swift horses. We had something like this in the West in the olden days, Pony Express. The rider would take the letter or the message or the mail, the post, and get on a fast horse and ride it to the relay station, and there the horse would be worn out, and he would get off that horse and saddle a fresh horse, and he'd ride it. And that's what Job was saying. My life goes by so quickly, so swiftly, that it's fast as a horse delivering mail. And then in verse 26, right there, Job 9, 26, he says, My days pass away as a swift ship. Now, this is not a ship in harbor. I've been on a ship in the Navy a long time, and sometimes we'd sit in the harbor, and sometimes we'd anchor, and sometimes we'd be in dry dock. But this is not a ship in the harbor. This is not a ship anchored. This is a ship under full sail, hurrying for the port, hurrying for home. And in those days, driven by the wind and nothing to stop it. My days are swifter than a ship under full sail. And then in verse 26 again, now listen to this, Job 9, 26. Job's still talking. My days, speaking of the swiftness of life, how quickly it passes. My days are as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. Did you ever watch an eagle as it flies about the sky, gliding smoothly, sailing about, and then suddenly the eagle spots its prey down on the ground or in a tree or somewhere, and he dives the eagle eye. He spots the prey way down there, and that eagle dives to catch that animal or whatever it is, and he speeds like a falling airplane. And that's what Job says here. My days go by so swiftly, not like the eagle sitting on his nest or floating in the sky, but my days are just like that. Swiftly, they're passing by. And then in Job 7, verse 6, listen to this. My days, Job said, are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Not many of you have seen people weave blankets and rugs, but I have down in Mexico. I go down there every year. And we stopped this past year we stopped at a little gift shop where they made blankets and rugs and different things out of the wool and out of the thread. And I watched a young lady sit there and work a weaver's shuttle, an old-fashioned weaver's shuttle, and it's faster than the eye as it makes that blanket or that rug or whatever, just back and forth it goes. And that's what Job is saying here. My days are passing by as swiftly and quickly as a weaver's shuttle. They're just gone, 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 faster than the eye. And then in verse 7 of Job 7, he says this, my days are swifter than the wind. I know all of you are familiar with how the wind can suddenly come up. You're outside and it's calm and clear and no breeze is blowing, and then suddenly, it's like our Lord said to Nicodemus, you can't tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And the wind suddenly comes up. It's felt, it's heard, it stirs up the dust and everything around it, a lot of commotion, and then as suddenly as it came, it's calm again. Where did it go? Where did it go? Where did life go? What is my life? What is my life? Well, this I know from the Scripture. It's swifter. My days go by more swiftly than a fast horse, than a speeding ship, than a diving eagle, than a weaver's shuttle, and like the wind, it passes by. So swiftly, so quickly. And then the Bible talks about something else. It talks about the uncertainty of life. Not only its swiftness, but its uncertainty. You know, David said, Lord, make me to know how frail I am. How frail. Someone said this, it's marvelous. Marvelous. You know, David said how wonderfully I'm made. But someone else said it's marvelous that a harp, you remember the old-fashioned harp that they played the strings with their hands like this? It's marvelous that a harp with so many strings stays in tune as long as it does. This is a frail, frail body, wonderfully made by the hand of God, but yet so frail, like in my text. James says, what is your life? We talk about today, I'm going to town, tomorrow I'm going, next month I'm going on a trip, and I'm going to buy and sell and stay there a certain length of time, and I'll be back. What is your life? It's even a vapor. A vapor. Talk about frail. Talk about uncertain. It's a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. What is a vapor? Did you ever go outside on a cold morning? Blow your breath in the air? That's vapor. My life is that frail vapor. Did you ever watch a kettle on the stove boiling water and the vapor comes out and it goes somewhere quickly and it's gone? Did you ever rise early in the morning and go out beside the lake and look out over the lake and see the vapor rise? And then in a few moments the sun comes out and the vapor's gone? Life is like that. Frail, uncertain. Here today and gone tomorrow. And then Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 6:12, listen to this, the uncertainty of life. All the days of a man's life he spends as a shadow, a vapor, a shadow. There's nothing with less substance than a shadow. The tree has substance. The wall has substance. But a shadow has no substance. And that's what God says about this natural life. No substance. It's so frail and uncertain, it's like a shadow. And not only that, but Isaiah said in chapter 38, my life is departed and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. We don't know a great deal about shepherds in this country, but you can read about them in the old countries. A shepherd taking care of his flock would lead the flock out to hunt grass and to hunt pasture. And he'd find a place on the side of a mountain where there was plenty of grass and green leaves and things like that, whatever sheep eat. And what he would do is turn his sheep loose, and then he'd put up a little tent to protect himself from the sun and from the weather. A little shepherd's tent. Maybe it's a lean-to. Maybe he just put it beside a tree. But it was a shepherd's tent, a lean-to or just a small tent to crawl in out of the sunshine, out of the weather. He didn't expect to be there long. He didn't build a fence around it. He didn't plant a garden. He just put his lean-to up and stayed there a little while and grazed his sheep and then folded it up and went on. And that's what Isaiah said, my life is like in its removal and departure when this tent is folded up. It's like a shepherd's tent. Just briefly here. And then in Isaiah 40, listen to this. The uncertainty of life. All flesh is as grass and as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. This is your life. What is my life? And God tells us, this is your life, a vapor, a shadow, a tent, a piece of grass, a blade of grass or a flower. Well, the Bible not only talks about the swiftness of life and the uncertainty of this earthly existence, but it talks about life being a changing thing, always changing. This hymn writer put it this way, swift to its close, swift to its close. That's what I've been talking about. Ebbs out life's little day. Its joys grow dim, its glories fade away. Change and decay in all around me I see. Oh, thou that changest not. He doesn't change. Our Lord never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Abide with me. I'm changing. Jacob said this about life being a changing thing. He said in Genesis 47:9, he said, my days are as a pilgrimage. What's a pilgrimage? A journey. A pilgrimage is a journey. And when a person takes a journey, especially here on foot or on horseback or camel or wagon or however they travel, they were usually journeys that took a while, and sometimes they would go through the valley and sometimes over the mountain. And sometimes they'd walk in the day and sometimes at night. And sometimes the journey would take them through hot, dry, dusty desert and sometimes beside the still waters. And sometimes they'd walk a rough road and sometimes a smooth road. But the journey was always changing, sometimes in the shade, sometimes in the sun, sometimes in the light, sometimes in the night. And life's journey is that way, always changing. The people who walk with us, they walk a while and then they're gone. Someone else walks along with us. And then we're gone. And someone walks along with them. And life's always changing, changing. Our whole conditions, environment, everything. We're changing. Our hair's growing gray and we're getting wrinkled and we're getting older and weaker and everything's changing. And then in Psalm 90, it says this about how life changes. It says, we spend our years as a tale that's told. A tale is a story. A story has many chapters. My life is a story with many chapters. My childhood, the chapter is finished. My teenage, that one's finished. Navy service, that one's finished. Raising my children, that one's over. My life's work, the ministry, is almost over. I'm writing the last chapter. It's a tale that's told, and many of you are. We're writing the last chapter. The events have come and gone. They'll never be relived. The chapter's closed. And now we're in the last chapter of the book. And Job says this. Now listen to this scripture. Job 20, verse 7 and 8. Man shall perish. Man shall perish forever as his own dung. That's really worthless, isn't it? His own dung. They which have seen him shall say one day, where is he? Where is he? He was here, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream, forgotten as a dream. What is your life? What is your life? Well, it's a pilgrimage. It's a tale that's told, and it is forgotten as a dream. You know, dreams so real at the time you have it. You can even wake up in a cold sweat with a bad dream. It'll even awaken you. A dream is so real at the time, but doesn't last long, does it? Soon it's forgotten. Even so, our lives are so real. Everything's so real as they're lived. But then it's asked, where is he? Where is he? What is your life? Well, life is as swift as a weaver's shuttle, a streaking eagle, a speeding ship. Life is as uncertain as a shadow or a vapor. Life is changing as a journey. Life is soon forgotten as a dream. You know, these things being so, and they are so, it would seem to me that men and women would be more interested in laying hold on eternal life. Wouldn't you think so? I'm appalled at the lack of interest in matters of the soul. I'm amazed that more people aren't interested in pursuing or seeking eternal life. This life is so swiftly going by, it's so uncertain, it's so changeable, soon to be forgotten. Paul the Apostle twice exhorted people, lay hold on eternal life, he said. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. The fashion of this world fadeth away. Sometimes, many times, the question was asked our Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? Our Lord said in Matthew 25, listen to the finality of this thing here. Matthew 25, 46, he said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Oh my, you know, Paul said, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, if by any means I might attain unto eternal life. Let's take the scripture. You know, I did that a moment ago. I asked, what is your life? And then I took the scripture and tried to show you what the scripture says about that. What is your life? What life is? Not very encouraging either, is it? But let's take the scripture and see what they have to say about life. What is eternal life? Well, I'll tell you, it's not swift, it's not uncertain, and it's not changing. Because eternal life is the gift of God. That's the first thing I know about eternal life. That's the first thing I would establish in reply to this question. What is eternal life? It comes from God. It's the life of God. It's not so much the length of it, though it is eternal, but it's spiritual life. It's divine life. It's the life that Adam lost when he died. When he sinned. It's not earned. It's not merited. It's the gift of God. The Bible's clear on that. Listen to Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. 1 John 5:11 says, this is the record. Write it down. God hath given us eternal life. It's the gift of God. I said in John 10:28, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I know them and I give them eternal life. In John 17, in his priestly prayer, I preached on it last Sunday. Our Lord said this, thou hast given me authority over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So that I know, what is eternal life? The gift of God. My mother and father, of course, by God's purpose, gave me physical life. But spiritual life, eternal life, the gift of God. Secondly, eternal life is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to that scripture again. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who said, I am come that they might have life. Who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God has given us eternal life. Watch this now. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John, writing in 1 John 1:2, says this, life was manifested. What is manifested? Revealed. Revealed. Set forth. Life is manifested. I've seen it, he said. I've touched him. And I show it to you. That eternal life which was with the Father has been manifested to us. It's a person. Eternal life is not in a church, not in a law or creed, not in a standard. It's in a person. Listen to 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true and in Him that is true. This is the true God. This is eternal life. Eternal life is not a profession. It's a possession of a person. Now, you mean, what is eternal life? It's the gift of God. You want it? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Cry unto Him. Don't come to me, I don't have it. Go to Him, because eternal life's in Christ. From Christ, through Christ, by Christ. Thirdly, eternal life was purchased by Christ in a life of obedience and in a sacrificial death. Listen to our Lord. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's right. John 6:54, he said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Hebrews 9:11 says, but Christ being come, a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, entered into the holy place, not made with hands, but heaven itself, to obtain eternal life and redemption for us. Eternal life's the gift of God. Eternal life's in a person. It's Christ, who is my life. When Christ, who is my life, shall appear. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God. And He purchased that by His death. Now watch this. An eternal life comes by hearing the Word of God and believing on Christ. Listen, our Lord said to the disciples after the people had walked away, He said, will you go away? And they said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's right. Listen, He says this, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath eternal life. It comes through the preaching of the gospel, the hearing of the gospel, the receiving of the gospel, and the believing of the gospel. That's what I've been reading to you. These words are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have eternal life through His name. Paul preached this gospel to a bunch of Gentiles, and the Scripture says when they heard it, they were glad, they glorified God, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto eternal life, unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. All right, in closing, eternal life is to know God. This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Eternal life is to believe God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Eternal life is to continue to walk with God in faith. Keep yourselves, listen to this, and I close, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Well, there's not much to this life, but that eternal life is forever and ever. Seek it in Christ. Now, if you want this message, what is your life? Write to me. Send $2. We'll mail it to you. And on the other side will be a message I'll preach next week. Until next Lord's Day, may God bless you, everyone.